Sportscast, June 15th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and also you can go to the iTunes and leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, leave a 5-star rating and it will help us out as well. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can get the Insta Bible on the iOS app store. Fury versus Anthony Joshua, a fight that a lot of people have been dreaming about, will happen next year, 2021. And here to join us is Mr. Sean from the BTR Boxing Podcast. Well, welcome to the show.
Well, the last time I was on the show, we were talking about two fighters that were way past the best, old men who were looking at coming back to potentially fighting each other. And now this time I'm on the show, we're talking about two guys that are in the prime, that are in the peak, who are potentially going to create history by being the first two British boxers to compete for a unification bout with all the titles being on the line. So this is, it's really great to be on, to be talking about something that a lot of people are really looking forward to.
Sean, why is this fight so significant? Obviously, we were speaking about it a couple of weeks ago. Why this fight? I mean, obviously, you know, with Wilder and Fury already fighting, but like, will this fight be the biggest fight? We say in UK history with boxing.
Yeah, in British boxing history, it will probably be the biggest fight for sure. I think when you look at what British boxing has done over the past 6 years, I think from 2014 onwards, when Carl Froch and George Groves fought each other in front of 80,000 people at Wembley, as Carl Froch loves to tell everybody, we got this big spike of new stars coming through the British boxing scene, and Anthony Joshua was obviously one of them, and all these marquee fights he's had here in the UK, and he's branched out to the States, although that wasn't obviously successful in his first outing against Andy Ruiz. He's gone to Saudi Arabia. Tyson Fury, making his name in the USA, seems to be more popular than Deontay Wilder from what I could gather from obviously social media and the way people were speaking about him. But that's because the way he's marketed himself since his return to the ring has been quite masterful. You know, getting involved in the WWE, creating a persona for himself. People want to see what this guy's all about, and people know this guy's name now. He's gone to beat Deontay Wilder in February and destroyed him. And now we've got two guys at the peak of their powers with all the titles. And it's, for us as British fighter fans, this is hugely significant. This may be the only time in, say, my lifetime that we ever get to see something like this.
And which of these fighters were hesitant in doing this? Was it, I know, like Fury really wanted it, but was it Anthony Joshua that was hesitant?
It's difficult to say. I wouldn't want to predict that it was Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury that have been reluctant to sign to do this deal. I think probably they've both wanted it, but they've wanted it on their terms at the right time, and now seems to be the right time more than anything that they need to get it on, because this is the best opportunity we're going to have as fight fans, not just British fight fans, but as worldwide fight fans, to get a true number one in the division with all the titles. Now, some titles that are on the line may not be classed as significant as others. For example, the IBO. People don't always regard the IBO as a legit world title. They think of the WBA, WBO, WBC and IBF titles. And then obviously they've got the ring and the lineal on top of that. They see them as the titles to go for in the respective divisions. And I think it's so significant to boxing, really, that it happens, because we get a true number one in the heavyweight division again, and we've not had that for a long, long time. I think, was it Lennox Lewis, the last one to really be the classed as the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world? I think he was. And other than that, it's been years since we've had somebody at the top where we can honestly say he is the number one guy in the division.
What do you think this fight will be? Obviously, with this whole COVID thing, you would think there'd be fans, but what location will be ideal? Vegas, Manchester? What are your thoughts?
As a British boxing fan, I would love to be able to travel down to London, to travel down to Wembley Stadium, potentially 100,000 people if they converted it to you know, to be in that atmosphere would be unbelievable. It'd be once in a lifetime. You'd never get that again. That's just me being selfish, but it depends on the money. The money's the big factor at play when it comes down to the locations, the venues, and that's something that I think we do need to touch on, is that although they've talked about it being agreed, it's kind of agreed in principle, but there's no talk of when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. The mandatories for the IBF with Pulev, we've got the rematch with Wilder to happen yet, so there's no guarantee and it's going to 100% absolutely happen. As much as we'd love it to, I'm still slightly skeptical as to when, where, and how this will happen.
Now, you definitely mentioned this before. Is this fight has the same spectrum as Evander versus Mike, with like Evander Holyfield versus Mike Tyson back in the 90s? Is this like how big this fight is?
I think this fight is as big as fights like Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Joe Lewis, Max Schmeling. We've got fights with Holyfield and Lewis in the 90s. Tyson against Holyfield. These are the types of significant fights in heavyweight history. I know there'll be many, many more that people will obviously mention on social media, and they're just a few at the top of my head. But for me, it's as significant as any of these big heavyweight boxing bouts in history, because it'll truly give us that number one in division. And like I said, we've not had it for such a long period of time where we can honestly say he's the number one guy. We've had this trio of fighters with Wilder, Fury and Joshua over the past few years where we've wanted this. We've wanted the definitive number one. We wanted the arguments to be ended. The social media arguments that happen with people arguing Fury's number one because he's done this, this and this. Joshua's number one because he's done this, this and this. So you want the arguments to end. You want the true number one to be there. And it's so exciting. Theoretically, it's so exciting. And it'd be fantastic if we got it. It's probably going to be next year now. Obviously, we can't rule out the mandatories that I spoke about earlier, the IBF mandatory against Pulev, the rematch against Deontay Wilder Fury. So it's going to happen at some point next year. But I want to be totally 100% excited about it. But at the moment, I can only sort of say I'm halfway there, only because of the fact that we haven't got anything in place. We've got no further details other than that. They've been in talks. The talks have been successful between the camps, and they're hopefully looking at fighting in 2021.
What month is ideal for you? Obviously, you know, it's indoor, but what's a good month to have this match?
It's got to be summertime, hasn't it? It's got to be a summertime bout. It's probably an outdoor arena, like a Wembley Stadium, or, you know, they might even take it to Saudi Arabia again. The Saudis might come knocking and might say, here you go, is, I don't know, 300, 400 million, split it between everybody involved, promoters, fighters, whoever's involved, and have it over in Saudi. But we don't want it in Saudi. We want it for us. British fight fans want it at Wembley Stadium. That's for us. American fight fans might want it over in Las Vegas. Las Vegas would be an amazing place to have this particular fight. Historic fights have obviously happened over there. But summertime for me, Santiago, would be the best time for it. I would love to see that in the summer. There'd be nothing better than seeing this big fight happen alongside, say, the 2021 Olympics that we're now getting.
Now, I mean, of course, this is, you know, between two Brits. Would going to Vegas, would that be something that you guys would be kind of against, or you'll be okay with?
As in them fighting each other because they're two British fighters?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously, you want it to be, like, via in the UK, but if you put in Vegas, obviously, with, like, the whole time zone and the territory, do you think Vegas will be, I mean, okay with you guys?
I think whatever we get, I think for me personally, this is just me personally speaking, I don't speak for anybody else.
Right.
I think it'll be whatever the right deal is for both fighters. It'll be whatever makes the most money for the promoters, whatever makes the most money for the fighters. It's life changing. It's a life-changing fight for both of them. It's a legacy-defining fight for both of them. Being selfish, as a fight fan, I would love to see it in Britain. I'd love to travel down to London from Manchester to go and watch that fight and be a part and create a memory that will live for me for the rest of my life. However, I do fear that we may not get it in the UK, and money will come calling, and it's more likely that it will happen in, say, the USA or possibly Saudi Arabia. But we'll have to, if as a fighter fan, we'll have to accept it. But I think we'll accept it as long as we get the fight. I think that's what we want. As long as the fight happens, that's the main thing for me.
Now, the deal is to have two matches, obviously. So, you know, I could see a situation where we'll be in like the UK, and the second location could be in the States or in Dubai or something like that. Would that be fair?
I think if you did the first one in maybe Las Vegas and did the return in the UK, then that would be perfect for fight fans. I think, you know, we'd enjoy it, because not only would you get, you know, the Americans drawing towards going to see this fight and it being such a big fight over there, but then you'd probably get a lot of tourism happening as well as a result of it. Of course, you're going to get 20, 30, 40,000 Brits going over to Las Vegas for that weekend, for a huge fight weekend like that. And of course, you're probably going to get so many Americans wanting to come over to the UK for the tourism aspects of it, but to be a part of history, because that's essentially what it would be. You'd be a part of history going into the biggest fight in British boxing history for a very long time. And will anything ever surpass it if it happens? It remains to be seen, of course. But I'm really, really excited for the potential of it happening. Las Vegas and then London, fantastic. If it's Las Vegas and Saudi Arabia, I'd be a little bit disappointed. But then I suppose it doesn't stop us as fight fans traveling to any of these places to go and see it.
No, not at all. Which fighter will benefit like the most? I know, I mean, like they're both will benefit, but which one really wants it like the most, you think?
It's so difficult. I know you're pushing me for an answer on it. It's so, so difficult. It's so, so difficult, because the thing is, I don't know them personally. I can't say I've spoken to them personally to know the mindset, the true mindset as to how much they really want this fight. But being around boxing, being around fighters for over 20 years, I know that both of these guys have worked so, so hard to get to the platform that they're on. They've done so, so much in their careers already that, of course, they're both going to want this fight. Not only for the fact that they'll be a part of history, but, of course, the financials that are going to come with it are going to set them up for more than just a lifetime. You could 10 lifetimes with the amount of money that would be involved in this fight. It could even be the biggest financial boxing bout in history. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather is the guy that's been raking in all the American dollars over the past few years with all these big fights that he's had, the Pacquiao fight, and then even that farce against McGregor, you know, making so much money on the back of it. You know, he's a shrewd businessman, and these two guys are shrewd businessmen as well. And at the end of the day, the fighters, that's what it all comes down to, and they're both going to want it. They're both going to be one of remembered in boxing history. So I can't honestly say one of them wants it more than the other. I honestly think they both want it.
We got Tyler on the line. Tyler, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, man. Sorry. Did you just say my name?
Yes, I just said your name, Tyler. Yep.
I was on there for like 2 minutes and I could not figure out the audio, so I literally just turned it on.
No. We got Sean on the line as well.
Cool, man. Stop.
looking forward to hearing your thoughts, Tyler, on this potential history making fight.
Hey, Tyler. So, Tyler, what are your thoughts over the fight between Anthony Joshua and Fury?
By the way, just so you know, I cannot hear Sean.
You cannot hear.
No, can he hear me?
Yes, right?
Yeah. Okay, now I can hear him. Okay. Before I couldn't hear him. Now I can hear him. So ask that question again. Sorry, I just joined.
Yes, we were just talking about the fight that was announced this past week between Fury and Anthony Joshua. What are your thoughts over this fight?
I think it's definitely an interesting fight. Two Brits going at it. I really... probably other than, you know, Wilder, the two best heavyweights. I believe Fury's the better fighter. I just think he's more skilled. He's the naturally bigger man. He's taller, longer. I think he's a little better boxer than Joshua. I think he's a little more skillful than Joshua. I just, in general, like a lot of things about what Fury does better than Anthony Joshua. Joshua is an individual who obviously had a very good amateur career, was gold medalist, has had a successful, for the most part, pro career, obviously got knocked out in the one fight, but he was able to win the rematch. I just don't see him, from my perspective, getting the better of Fury. I think Fury will just be able to outbox him. I don't think Joshua can hit quite hard enough to hurt Fury, because look at Fury, other than he did get almost knocked out against Wilder, but Fury is a pretty big guy. He's pretty hard to hurt. And I don't think Joshua hits as hard as Wilder. And at the same time, I think Joshua's a better boxer than Wilder, but I don't think he's as good a boxer as Fury. So I think he would get outboxed. I don't think he has anything that would really hurt Fury, and I think it'd be one of those fights that'd be like eight rounds. I don't think Fury had knocked Joshua out, but Joshua also has been susceptible to get hurt. He got knocked out in the one fight. He got dropped by Klitschko, so he's a little more susceptible to get hurt. Fury's not a big puncher, though. I just see it being one of those pretty good boxing match. I don't know if it'd be a highly entertaining fight, but I think it'd be a solid boxing match with Fury winning 8 out of 9 rounds. That's my perspective of the fight. But definitely it's the most interesting fight that you can have right now in the heavyweight division.
Wow, you said it. Sean, what are your thoughts about his analysis on that?
It's very good. I couldn't have put it better myself, to be honest with you. I think I've always said, if these two ever got in the ring together, if these two ever shared a ring together, I could only see this fight going one way, and I could only see it going to Tyson Fury. And whether that be on a points decision, because he can outbox Joshua, which I genuinely believe, or whether he could do what he did to Deontay Wilder, which is completely shell-shocking, and give us something that we've not expected. The thing we've seen with both of these fighters is that they can be knocked down, they can be hurt like any fighter, and we've seen them flaws in them, we've seen them susceptibilities in both of them fighters. However, I think what we've also seen is the ability for them both to overcome adversity. So it does create a very interesting fight, because both of these have been in dire straits in fights and have been able to, well, obviously Joshua wasn't able to overcome the Andy Ruiz situation, but Tyson Fury was with Wilder. Tyson Fury was able to get up when seemingly most of the fighters wouldn't have done. So psychologically, he's probably going to have that edge, but Anthony Joshua is really good at cutting the ring off, really good at closing the distance down. And that's going to be something that is going to be interesting to see how they adopt a game plan, because if you look at the way he boxed against Andy Ruiz the second time, he stuck to a game plan. They boxed him. They didn't get engaged with him too much. They boxed on the outside, went in when he needed to go in, came out when he needed to come out, and didn't stay in the pocket too long. Whereas against a guy who's naturally much bigger, much taller, much more of a reach, he's going to be like Andy Ruiz was trying to be. He's going to have to try and get on the inside, and he's going to have to try and close that gap and close that distance to be able to get to Tyson Fury before Tyson Fury has moved away from him. So it is going to be a real interesting concept to see how these two guys' game plans play out on the night. But I agree with Tyler. I do think that Tyson Fury will take this on points.
Okay. Any feedback on that, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think we sound like we're kind of on the same page. I mean, I think it's a big fight because it's the two biggest heavyweights. They're both from Britain. It's a heavyweight title, which is always the biggest title there is in boxing. And I think they're both good boxers. I just think that Fury, when I think of Joshua, I think of kind of a poor man's Lennox Lewis, meaning he was an accomplished amateur. He won a gold medal in, I'm forgetting, was it 2008, I believe, he won a gold medal? Or was it 2012? He won a gold medal.
12.
Wow, that's how fast it goes. Okay, so 2012, he won the gold medal. So he had very much a similar arc of Lewis. I don't think he's as good as Lewis. I don't think He boxes as well. I also don't think he has the physical advantages, the arm length, the straight punches that Lewis has. But he's all, you know, he's the Londoner, the gold medalist, the accomplished amateur. He has all of that going for him that has been, you know, really set up a nice professional career. He's had some nice victories. He also had that really bad loss where he got knocked out. I mean, and got annihilated. He did come back and he revenged it. In my time of seeing Anthony Joshua, I've always thought he was a solid fighter, but I never saw greatness in him. I never thought he was a terrific puncher. He looks great. I mean, he's absolutely chiseled. He's the perfect looking heavyweight. I just don't think he has natural punching power. That doesn't have to do with how you look either. I mean, look at that Dante Wilder. Dante Wilder is extremely skinny and but he has these heavy hands. I mean, that's a God-given trait that's not taught. It's you either have it or you don't. And I don't think Joshua has ever really had that kind of power. I think he's a good boxer. I don't think he's a great boxer. I think he's a little stiff in the upper body. He moves well for a guy his size, but there's also guys that can move better than him. I think he throws his punches well, but I don't think he is the most skillful. He's not at the level of even a Lewis. He's not the level of a Lennox Lewis. He doesn't have the same kind of skills. He definitely doesn't throw straight punches as well. So I like Anthony Joshua. I think he's a good heavyweight. I think at any point of history, he would have been a solid heavyweight. I don't think he's great. I don't think he ever would have been great, and I don't think he's ever going to be great. I don't think he has the talent, nor do I think he has the skill, nor do I think he even has the inner motivation from what I've seen. You don't come out there and get blown out by a guy with such inferior skills and talent that he did in the one fight. And the guy's name is escaping me. Who's the guy Joshua lost to, Sean?
Andy Ruiz.
Who's the heavyweight to knock Joshua? And there you go. His name completely escaped me. Andy Ruiz Jr. And Andy Ruiz Jr. is a solid guy, but I mean, just look at him. That is not an all-time great heavyweight. And he's not even in the same vicinity of natural talent that Joshua was, yet he blew Joshua out. Joshua didn't even look prepared for that fight. So I just think Joshua is a good fighter, but not great. Fury, on the other hand, when he has his mind on straight, I do think he would be a problem for any heavyweight in the history of boxing. He is just so big. He's 6'9". He has long arms. He's extremely skillful. He throws. He also is a very. He has very good ring generalship. The concept of ring generalship is knowing how to take advantage of your opponent's weaknesses and use the ring towards your advantage. So if your opponent's a banger, you box them. If they're a boxer, you maybe slug with them. Fury's ability to turn that on and off, I think, has been at a higher level than any heavyweight I have seen in recent history. He's big, he's tall, he's long. That automatically is going to be problematic for a certain amount of heavyweights. I think Tyson Fury, if you put him at any point in history, as long as his mind's on correctly, remember Tyson Fury's battled mental health issues. He blew up to 350 pounds and lost his title. And, you know, you thought you might never see him again. So there is that element of him that does go into effect. If you don't mentally have it together, then you can't be an all-time great because you can't get in the ring enough. But when he is able to be in shape, to perform at the level of his skills and his natural talent, Fury would have given anybody trouble. He would have given Ali trouble. I think he would have given Joe Lewis trouble. He would have given Larry Holmes trouble. He would have given he would have beaten Mike Tyson. I go on a record and say I don't see how Tyson would have beaten a Tyson Fury. So that's the kind of level I think Fury is when he's mentally there. I don't see that for Joshua. I just see a guy that is, you know, he looks the part. He's a solid heavyweight. But at any point in history, he could be beaten by several heavyweights. So it's just a different level in my opinion.
Wow, huge mouthful there, Sean. Do you agree with Ty that Anthony Joshua lacks that greatness?
I think he needs a legacy defining win. It's as simple as that, and this is the opportunity to do it. I think if he was to go in there and beat Tyson Fury and everything that Tyler was just saying about Tyson Fury, I think that would surely cement his legacy as one of the greats. I can understand, obviously, Tyler, why you do say what you say about Anthony Joshua. You know, his best wins are Vladimir Klitschko, Alexander Povetkin, Joseph Parker. They're the three best wins on his record. He had a great fight with Dillian White, who's obviously really scrapping to get his shot at world title. And that was in 2015. That was for a British title. That was a brilliant fight. But this was when they were both on different levels. They've both gone further to where they were then to where they are now. But he needs a big win. The simple as to argue both points here. If you're Anthony Joshua, at this point in time, what do you need to do to cement your legacy? Well, you need to prove that you are the best heavyweight in the division by going out and beating a Tyson Fury. The questions will always be there over the fight with Deontay Wilder. Did he duck that fight? Did he not want to accept the $50 million that was on the table for that fight? People will probably always find a way of putting his career down in some perspective. But if I'm speaking to Anthony Joshua and I'm saying, how do you cement your legacy in boxing? Well, you've got to go and beat the only other guy who holds the title to unify the whole division. And then maybe, if he wants to go one step further, he goes and tries to beat Deontay Wilder. He needs to beat them two guys. For me, he has to beat them two guys. That's the only way we're going to be able to sit there and say, honestly, he is a true great of the sport. For Tyson Fury, it's the same in some respects, but I think he's got that advantage over Anthony Joshua that he was the man that beat the man, and that will always stay in boxing history as the man that beat the man. Now, if he goes on to defeat Anthony Joshua in this proposed fight, he certainly cements his legacy of one of the greatest British heavyweights of all time. He certainly does. He definitely puts himself in with a very good shot of being the best British heavyweight of all time alongside Lennox Lewis. Some might say he might surpass him if he beats Anthony Joshua. And he's beat both of the best heavyweights around at the time and completely unified the whole division. Will people say that? I don't know. But He needs to go and do that. For me, that's the only thing left for him to do. I don't see any value in him fighting Deontay Wilder for a third time. I don't see any value in that at all. However, if they're contractually obliged to have to fight Deontay Wilder for a third time, then so be it. I'm sure he'll beat him. I'm quite confident after seeing what he's taken from Deontay Wilder in that second fight that they'll go in and beat him. But for Tyson Fury, everything Tyler's already explained is his advantages over Anthony Joshua. If Tyson Fury was to be plonked in any heavyweight era, how would he get on? People will fantasize and theorize about that. But I agree with Tyler on that. I agree. If you put him in any heavyweight era, and we're talking theorizing here and fantasizing, I do think he'd hold his own. I do really think he'd hold his own. He may even beat some of them all-time greats that we speak about so fondly. He may not. It's always going to be a difficult one to predict, of course. But for me personally, I think Tyson Fury holds the psychological edge over Anthony Joshua going into that proposed fight between the two of them. I think Anthony Joshua, for maybe the first time in his career, might even be the underdog.
Incredible. Well, guys, we're going towards the end of the show. We'll go with Tyler first. Your closing words about this fight and your 2020 prediction for next year's fight between Fury and Joshua.
So the closing predictions on the Joshua Fury fight?
Yes, obviously we'll come back next year to predict it, but as of right now, what are your final predictions?
I mean, as long as Fury, and the only thing that ever worries me about Tyson Fury is he just seems to be a kind of a basket case when it comes to his mental, he had that time where he went away for 2 years because of mental health problems. And you always just wonder, the COVID, did he stop training? So it's just always at the back of your mind, like, is he going to go backwards? But as long as he keeps training, as long as he stays focused, as long as he sees the eye on the prize, just, you know, taking all the belts and continuing to cement a legacy of a great all-time heavyweight, I don't see Fury ever losing. And I think he would beat Anthony Joshua as of today if they were to fight. I think he would go the distance. I don't think he would be, you know, styles make fights. I don't see that fight being that highly entertaining. I think it seems kind of actually being boring. But I think Fury would win like 9 out of 12, maybe 10 out of 12 rounds. But I would actually be more interested in seeing like Wilder versus Joshua. I think that'd actually be the more entertaining fight.
Wow.
Because I just think the stylistically it makes a more entertaining fight. When two kind of boxers fight each other, and that's ultimately what the kind of styles of Fury and Joshua fight in, sometimes the fight is not very entertaining. It's two guys trying to get position, try to maneuver the other guy, and it could be a lot of dinging and donking and maneuvering, and it could be a little boring. That's why when you have ever seen two very good boxers, stylistic boxers, face off of against each other, a lot of times when you look back, it's not one of the more interesting fights you see. What makes an interesting fight is a Frazier versus Ali, the great boxer with the great slugger. I'm trying to think of other great fights in the history. I don't know. I can't think of it. Oh, to a certain extent, Duran versus Leonard. Leonard Hearns were two boxers, but the thing was, they came to bang. But when you think of the great fights all time, and you break down the all-time greatest fights, I'd have to sit there and really dwell on the greatest fights of all time. And a lot of times, it's been a great boxer versus a great puncher, or a great banger versus a great boxer. It's been like, or possibly a guy who's more of a boxer, but he also has a side of him that does like to get in there and fight, possibly like a Leonard, who would put the pedal to the metal. He would step in there and he would get in the box and fight like he did against Hearns. It's those kind of fights that become interesting. If it's just two guys that are just real intent on just boxing each other and kind of maneuvering around the ring, the fight can be a little bit boring. It just can be not the most entertaining. And I got a feeling that fight you might see Joshua. I think Joshua would have to take chances in order to get inside. He doesn't have the length that Fury does, and Fury is obviously just an excellent ring, has great ring generalship, and is a great boxer. I think for Joshua to try to push it, I just don't know if he would. I don't see that in him. And what I see, he just seems like a guy who does his thing. It's usually enough because he has more talent, he has more skills than his opponent. But do I think if he had to get just dirty and he had to maybe kind of get ugly and get inside, would he do it? I don't know. That would take an Evander Holyfield-like effort. And I don't know if he has that Evander Holyfield-like determination, heart inside of them. I'm not saying a guy doesn't have heart. If you step in the ring, you have heart. But I'm talking about all-time great. Like, you will do whatever it takes to win. Like, last podcast we did, Holyfield was the guy I mainly think of. If he had to box, he would box. If he had to bang, he had to bang. Sugar Ray Leonard was another great one. There's been a few, not very many, but there's been a few that it didn't care what they had to do, they would do it. If they had to throw caution to the wind, they would throw caution to the wind. And it's rare to see that kind of person, but most of the time it is, you kind of, guys have their abilities and they use those abilities, but if they have to go beyond that, if they have to step outside of that, I haven't seen it very often from a lot of people, and I haven't seen it from Anthony Joshua, nor do I expect to see it from him. And I just don't think what he has to offer is as good as Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is bigger. Tyson Fury is a better boxer. Tyson Fury, I think, has better ring generalship. Joshua might be able to hit a little bit harder, but even that is not a substantial level. I don't think he has anything in his toolbox that is better than Tyson Fury. Therefore, for him to beat Tyson Fury, he would have to do something different. I don't think he has that ability.
Tyler is
Fury by decision.
That's a good summary. Sean Bostow, what is your final thoughts and your prediction as of 2020?
So final thoughts and prediction as of 2020. I've stuck with this for the past 18 months, probably, I think, since Tyson Fury came back and proved that he was as good as he was when he left, when he got that draw with Deontay Wilder. Right there and then, I was like, he'll be Anthony Joshua. He's proven now that he's got everything he needs in the locker to beat Anthony Joshua. I'm not saying I didn't think that before, but after the way he was able to come back and get that draw and then emphatically go and beat Deontay Wilder the way he did, straight away I was just like, he's going to beat Anthony Joshua no matter what anybody says. He's going to beat him. He's got everything in the locker that he needs to beat him. Tyler's given a probably a more better detailed breakdown than what I could. But in short summary for me, I think he'll beat him on points. I think it'll either be a Mayweather-Pacquiao scenario where you've got the guy in Tyson Fury who's just so good on front foot, so good.
I think Sean froze a little bit. Sean, you still there?
Tyson Fury is probably going to be gone by the time he throws one of them big punches. And that's what's going to be really interesting to see how both of their trainers come into it with a game plan. Anthony Joshua's trainer is Rob McCracken, who, for you guys, you may know him, you may not know him. He also trained Carl Froch throughout his career as well. And he also trains Team Great Britain for the Olympics as well. So he's got a lot of involvement in the grassroots side of the sport. So he knows his boxing. He knows what type of game plans to put into place. But will he be able to put something in place to deal with a guy like Tyson Fury? Has he ever come up against someone like that? I don't think he has in his coaching career. So it will be really interesting to see what they try and adopt to try and beat a Tyson Fury. But for me, I've always said it and I'll stick by it. Tyson Fury, he beats him on points. He seals his name in history as one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time and probably the greatest British heavyweight of all time.
There you have it. Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, slated for next year, 2021. I do like Tyler's opinion that the Wilder versus Joshua would be an interesting fight instead. They might plan that out, right, Sean? I mean, that could possibly happen.
Well, money talks, doesn't it? And I think in this sport, if it can make money, of course. The two-fight plan that they've got for this particular fight with Joshua and Fury, will it end both of their careers, win, lose, or draw for both of them? I mean, if they get paid a hell of a lot of money, what else is there left for them to do? I think if Tyson Fury emphatically beats Anthony Joshua, beats him and doesn't leave any questions asked, then the only thing left for Joshua is that fight with Deontay Wilder, which I think could be a compelling affair. I think people will then say, though, it's probably 2 or 3 years past the point where we wanted it, the same way we said these things about Mayweather versus Pacquiao in 2015. We wanted it 5 years.
Sean, we lost Sean a bit. You still there, Sean?
My focus is on getting one of the biggest and best heavyweight fights of all time happen for sure, and I'm really looking forward to hopefully when it does.
There you have it. Once again, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. We have to wait till 2021. There'll be a few more boxing matches this year, but of course, you know, with COVID, let's see what happens. Interesting where the venue will be, whether it be fans. 2021 should be a little bit better. Maybe, you know, partial a fan base. Anyways, anything else before we head into random questions?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would ask, Sean, is what other fights in 2020 are you looking for currently? Looking forward to?
This year, I think that there's a few fights that have been proposed this year that I would like to see. One of them in particular was Vasily Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. That was one fight that really excited me in particular. There's been a few British fights involving British fighters that are scheduled to happen later on this year now. Fingers crossed they take place. We've got some great fights upcoming domestically here. But the big fight that I want to see is Lopez versus Lomachenko, or maybe even Devin Haney versus our own Luke Campbell as well. These are a couple of fights that I've had on my mind for quite a few months, really, to see going forward. Maybe Jorge Linares versus Ryan Garcia. Maybe we'll get something like that this year. I hope so, but we'll see what happens. It's it's baby steps at the moment for boxing, unfortunately, yep, because of COVID. So we'll see what happens.
Tyler?
Yeah, the problem is we lost half the year due to COVID. So when you're talking about great fights, you're having to kind of stick him in this last half of the year, and I don't know how possible that is.
Exactly. Anyways, we'll definitely be eyeing out what's going on with boxing this year. And Tyler, what's going on with your article? You released it today. Tell us a little bit about it. 60 seconds.
Yeah, the article I released today was the 10 best rosters, in my opinion, going into 2020. Obviously, I do my team talent formula, and I kind of took data from that to go along with the fact that I just overall development from those particular programs, who they have coming back. You know, obviously they have All-American quarterback, Heisman Trophy level quarterback. That obviously makes the roster all that better, much better. And the overall, the results last year, how successful they were and how much of that production they brought back. Clemson, I think is they're my number one team going into this year. And so I felt like the roster is number one. And then I think followed with Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Penn State.
Florida, number six, then Penn State.
Florida, Penn State, Oregon, Notre Dame, and then finished off with Oklahoma. I think, in my opinion, and very similar to my team talent formula that I do, which outlines basic baseline talent, most of those teams had top 10 talent. I think only two of them have talent outside the top 10, but they have a lot of production coming back that and in the conferences they play in, that I think that they have the ability to be a top 10 team. Yeah.
And you can read his article on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, the top 10, quite interesting, and definitely will be updating because things fluctuate throughout the year, so we'll see what happens where college football is set to be kicked off in August. So it should be quite an interesting time in this year with sports. Poll question of the day, it's what is your favorite photos in nature? Wildlife, marine life, night, or landscape? We'll go with Sean.
Landscape. I love looking at a fantastically taken photograph of a landscape. It's just beautiful, beautiful to behold.
Tyler?
To ask that question again.
Favorite photos in nature? You got landscape, marine life, night, or animals, wildlife?
Animals and wildlife.
Okay. So far, wildlife is winning.
Nice.
So
go team wildlife.
And Sean, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about Anthony Wilder?
It is at SeanBTRBoxing. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook as well. And interested to hear everybody's thoughts on this particular matchup, the Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and a potential Anthony Joshua Deontay Wilder fight.
Exactly. And Tyler Turner, what is the best way to reach you, talk to you about your team talent formula?
At TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast. And of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Tomorrow night, we got Justin Riley and special guest Marvin Constant, former Alabama player, LB. I'm not sure if Ty remembers Marvin Constant in Alabama.
I don't.
We'll find out more about him tomorrow. We got the Alabama series in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be all you guys that love Alabama. We have some players coming on, thankfully, with Justin trying to knock some doors and figure out where are these guys are at. So anyways, guys, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.